Amen. I don't see Tiffany Smith anymore. Did she go home? Okay. All right. Tiffany had surgery this week and got out of the hospital this morning and had her husband bring her here. And I thought that spoke volumes. And I know that some of you ladies had prayer with her towards the back of the service. I saw that. But can we just say a word, a prayer for her? We also had a couple other people that had surgery this week. So remember them in prayer also. Father God, we pray for all those that had surgery this week, and we pray for the hand of God to be upon them. Lord, bringing a quick recovery to them. Father, I know also, Lord, there's people in this body that are fighting the fight of faith, believing God for a recovery. Lord, and it seems like it's a struggle. Lord, they're really pushing, Lord, into to see the hand of God touch their life. And so, Lord, we just want to stand with those that are believing God for healing in their life. And we just ask right now, Lord, that this would be the service, Lord. Let this be the time, Lord, when we see the miracle hand of God and we see gifts of healing, Lord. So we release our faith today, Lord, to believe God, Lord, for gifts of healing and miracles in this place and this service. Father, we pray for Tiffany right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, in her heart, she wanted to be in your house. And Father, Lord, we see that, Lord, she didn't quite make it very long, but Lord, she made an effort, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you would see her faithfulness. And Lord, that you would bless her, and may the hand of God rest upon her and bring healing and life in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we pray for the sermon today, and we ask, Lord, for your anointing. Lord, I know your word is anointed, Lord. There's no doubt in my mind, Father, that your word is anointed. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that my words would line up with your words. And I pray, Father, Lord, that the people's ears would be open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So, Lord, there's the Word speaking, there's me speaking, and then there's the Holy Ghost speaking all at the same time. And Lord, it sounds like that would be confusion. But Lord, the truth of the matter is there's perfect unity in the body of Christ. So Lord, I thank you for that unity. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that the voice of the Holy Spirit would be loud and clear today, bringing encouragement to each and every one of us. Now, Lord, my prayer is always the same. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're reading a great portion of Scripture today. I've entitled this sermon, Submission Equals a Blessed Life. How many people are living the blessed life? Amen. I'd love to see that hand. Amen. Amen. Well, guess what? It's yours. It's yours. Someone died to give it to you. So if you're not living it, I don't think the fault lies with him. And I dare say the fault doesn't lie with you. The fault probably lies that we're ignorant. We didn't know we're supposed to be blessed. But you're supposed to be blessed, guys. Your life is supposed to be marked with blessing. So in the morning, you should get up and you should thank God for another day of life, because it's another day of getting to walk in the blessing of God. And you should be thinking things like this: what are you going to do today in my life, Lord? How are you going to use me today? Is today going to be the day when everything that I've been praying for and believing for comes together? Have you ever read those scriptures, verses that says, suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and suddenly this happened, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came, or suddenly? Do you know today could be your suddenly day? All these years of faithfully serving Christ, all these prayers that gone up before the throne of grace, And today, it may be your suddenly moment. Is that where your faith is at? Or is your faith is, He never answers my prayer? Is there a God in heaven? Do my prayers just bounce off the ceiling? Does God hear me? Can we settle that today? Can we just say, oh, absolutely, He hears you. I wish that we could say that everything just works out for the believer. I'm telling you, it just works. But have you ever thought about this? We would be spoiled, rotten brats if we got everything instantaneously. I think sometimes that parents rush in to help their children sometimes too quickly and too much. Because I think struggling in life sometimes teaches us more than the blessing. Persevering. I like that word a little better. Persevering for the blessing. In other words, when you're persevering, you're saying, I know it's out there, Jesus. I know the blessing lies ahead, and I will not give up. I am pushing forward. I'm pushing forward for the blessing, to see the hand of God unveiled in my life, to see what you have in store for me, to see who I am in you. You ever get in front of the mirror and you just look at yourself in the mirror and say, who really are you? What does Jesus see when He sees you? Am I that man that He sees? Or is it still just a shadow? I want you to know God hears your prayer. Keep persevering. Keep moving towards the mark of the high calling of God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, finally, okay, so he's sort of ending up this period of teaching what he's instructing these New Testament Christians in Asia Minor. He's teaching them. He says, okay, finally, the last point that I want to make is this, okay? Now, this doesn't conclude the chapter. He's like most preachers, right? In conclusion, and then they preach another hour. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter is teaching these saints a life of submission. It is the life that most Christians today buck up against. Don't tell me I have to submit, Eric. Don't tell me. Don't preach that. And I'm not talking about wives submit to your husband. I'm talking about all of it. I'm talking about submitting to the law of the land, submitting to God even. Hey, come on. We are teethed on independence, right? I am who I've made myself to be. Oh, what a big lie. I did it my way and died and went to hell. I don't think I want to do it my way. The world would tell you that's the glorious route. Do it in your way. Be your own man. And the Bible says, no, the victory and the blessing lies in being submissive. Be submissive. So he's concluding that blessing of submission, and he tells us in this life of submission is the blessing. Teenagers all over the world are rebelling against their parents. I am so thankful that our teenagers are so different than the world's teenagers. I mean, there's a different spirit in the teen in there. There's a different spirit among these kids. I'm not saying that they never rebel and never get that little spirit of independence, but by and large, they want to please God. And that's what it's all about. You may have times in your own life where all of a sudden the old man raises that ugly head and you think, I don't want to submit. Right? Isn't that honest? But the truth of the matter is you submit your will to His will because you know His will is right. So the very first thing He tells us is in submission, there are five characteristics, there are five virtues that you're going to find in submission. And the first one is harmony. We have a harmonious spirit. Now, if two people get up and they sing the same notes, it's called what? Unison. But if one sings the third above or below, they're singing in harmony. Two notes that blend together, that make a much more beautiful sound. It's called a chord when you add three notes or even more. That's a chord musically. And it's a beautiful sound. Hopefully. I don't think of all the musical instruments that we have, I sort of agree with the Church of Christ in this. There's no more beautiful instrument than the human voice. As we lift our voices to the Lord in harmony, it's a beautiful thing. Now, I think most of us understand the difference in harmony and uniformity. But when the church begins to teach uniformity, we're beginning to sound like a cult. Because cults require everyone to think exactly the same and be the same and do the same, right? And it's always bent and it's always turns out evil. And eventually they're going to ask you to drink the Kool-Aid, for those of you that's old enough to remember, right? That's a cult. That is not what God is saying. He says, I want you to be harmonious. What's the difference? It's not the same note. It's the one, the third above it. It's the third below it. Am I making sense? It sounds beautiful when it's together, but it's not identical. It's harmonious. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There are patterns of thought that He wants us to think. One of the patterns of thought that He's just been teaching us is the lifestyle of submission. Now, brothers ought to dwell in unity. So He's saying this is a virtue that we get along together even in our difference. We don't all have the same calling. We don't all have the same ministry. We don't all have the same talents. And that's okay. We don't look alike, thank God. We don't dress alike. Thank God again. But we walk in unity, complimenting each other, encouraging each other. Does that make sense to you? We are to be harmonious. Pastor Ray taught today in class, again, another hard lesson. I don't know where he gets all these things. About brothers not suing each other. We're supposed to walk together in unity. We're supposed to work our problems out together. He didn't say that we're never going to have problems. Matter of fact, I think he quoted Luke 17:1. You're going to have problems. Offenses will come. You're going to get offended. In the body of Christ, you will. If you stay long enough, you will get offended. Not a promise of me, it's a promise of God. Isn't that wonderful? That's glorious. And in our differences, we choose. You hear that word? We choose to walk in harmony. Why? Because love supersedes my will. Oh, that's a good statement. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't have that in my notes. The second thing he says is be sympathetic. And when I read that, it says a sincere feeling for the needs of others. You don't have to tell people, I understand your feelings, because chances are you don't. But you ought to have feelings towards people. When someone's going through a difficult time, it ought to move you in a level of compassion. You ought to feel people's pains. The Bible says when one rejoices, we rejoice. But when one suffers, we all suffer. The Bible compares the body of Christ to the human body. Men, you ever been building something with a hammer? And all of a sudden that big thumb gets in the way? And smack! It gets bigger. And all of a sudden, guess what? The rest of the body recognizes that you just hit your thumb with a hammer. And it tells the brain, that didn't feel good. And the brain tells the mouth, cuss really loudly. I think it'll help. And the spirit tells the mouth, no, don't cuss. You're a child of God. And then the battle begins. What are you going to do? You're going to say, sweet Jesus, touch my thumb. But the whole body comes into pain. Why? Because one little part of us got hurt. When one little part of us is suffering in the body, in the kingdom, it ought to hit all of us. We ought to feel that pain. Why do we want to feel someone's pain? Because it drives us to our knees. When I feel what you're going through, it makes me pray differently. It's not a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. All of a sudden it's, dear God, these people need you. It ain't my need. What's it to you? Don't sweat it. No, sweat it. That's part of your family. And then he says, I want you to be brotherly. Oh, that sounds so wonderful. So we take that verse and we call each other. Hey, Brother Kevin, how are you? Hey, Brother Terry, God bless you. Brother Larry, oh man, Brother Tommy, you guys are brothers in Christ. But then you stop and you think, what's that really mean? Brotherly? Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that brothers are born for adversity. Oh, all of a sudden that just took a really weird turn, didn't it? Now, I think that a better word for that is not brothers are born for adversity, but brothers are born for competition. You ever had a brother? Where's Dave? Dave, what do you got, 8 brothers? Or 7 brothers, you're the 8th one? You're the 9th. Dear God, when they quit counting. So, I think he probably ought to teach this lesson on brothers. Brothers compete at everything. Right? I'm not going to tell that story. That's just too gross. They compete at everything. I can remember as a kid seeing who could pee the furthest. I mean, you just compete at everything. But in that competition, it pushes you to become better. Push a little harder. Yeah, actually, if you squat, no. We live in a day that no one wants to say anything challenging to anyone else. We don't want to offend. We don't want to make someone mad. So, dear God, I'm not going to say the truth. I'll just pat them on the back and let them go their sinful way. You know what? If I really love this man over here, which I do, and I see him flirting with another woman, I'm going to go to him in private and I'm going to say, Jason, you're making a big mistake. With all the love that I have in my heart, I'm going to say, brother, don't go down that road. Don't do that. It brings destruction. But society says, don't get involved. But the Word says we're brothers. We're in the family. My brother will critique me like that. He'll call me out. Always has. In love, we ought to be able to call each other out. Now, I am not giving you the permission to just start criticizing everybody, because that's not what it's saying. Did you remember the first part? Harmony, harmony, harmonious, sympathetic, and then brotherly. There is a... What's the Bible say about someone that kisses you all the time or something like that, you know? The flatterer just tells you what you want to hear. And that's the world which we live. They're just telling you what you want to hear, but nobody wants to stop and say, man, you got to stop. That's a bad decision. Don't you wish somebody would have gotten in your face at some point in your life and said, ho, 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 ho. You got to, my brother-in-law, not Eddie, but Doyle, when he first got married and been married about 3 years and he had a one-year-old baby, and he said he had all of it he could handle with his wife. He said, I was sitting in my truck one day, and this is way before cell phones. He said, I was sitting in my truck. I had my one-year-old. He loves his kid. That man has got just a, he's just a great dad. And Doyle said, I'd had all of her I could stand. And he said, I was driving around one day with his son in the truck, and he said, I called my dad. And he said, Dad, he said, it's the end of the road. I can't stand it any longer. I've taken all that I can take. And Brother Reagan looked at him and said, or talking to him on the phone, he's in North Carolina, Brother Reagan's in Missouri. He said, son, he said, is Dustin with you? And he said, yeah, Dad. He said, he's sitting right here in the truck with me. He's pulled up to the side of talking to the on the phone through the window. He said, take a good look at him, son. And he said, well, why, Dad? And he said, because your relationship with him will never be what it could have been. He said, I want you to know when you make this decision, you're giving up a whole lot. And he'll pay the price. And you'll pay the price of being a father to this boy. He said, somebody else is going to step in your shoes and raise your son. He said, don't think this woman of yours, when you divorce her, is going to stay single the rest of her life. There'll be a stepfather. You ready to give that over? He said, man, did it wake me up. And you know, I think all of a sudden he came to the realization that she really wasn't the problem, that the problem lied within him. And he changed his life. And they've been married close to 30 years now. But what if he hadn't called his dad? What if he just called somebody in the church? Do you know what this woman's doing to me? She gripes at me all the time. Do you know what she does? She never fixes my breakfast. She doesn't iron my clothes. She doesn't wash my clothes. She... You know what most brothers in the church would tell him? I don't blame you. You deserve better. Thank you, Jesus, for a father that had the wisdom and the insight to say, hold up, son. Hold up. Let's think about this thing. Let's see it to the end. Let's look down the road a few years and see what this is really going to mean. That's being brotherly. It's not agreeing with each other all the time. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Amen. Number three is being, or number four is being kind-hearted. And it literally means being generous in your belly. There's a lot of people that feel, that seemingly seem kind-hearted in their actions, but in their belly, they're mean. But he's saying, I want your actions and your motivations to be together. I want you to be kind, but I want you to feel kind also. I want it to come out of a sincere heart of love. Does that make sense? And then the last thing he says is be humble in spirit. There go I, except for the grace of God. Oh, it's so easy to look at everybody else and say, look at that sinner. Look at how what they're doing. Look at that brother in the Lord and what's going on in his life. There go I, except for the grace of God. We all have problems. We used to sing a song years ago that says, he picked out a valley for me. I am so thankful that my problems are my problems. And you ought to be the same. You don't go through my problems, and I don't go through your problems. The Lord knew what I could take, and the Lord knows what you can take. And he lets us go through certain things to perfect us, actually. It's sort of a warped way of thinking to our mind. But to God, he sees the end result. He knows. If they persevere through this struggle, here's what they're going to become. So he allows us. But what's the body of Christ to do? The body of Christ is not to stand in judgment. We're to stand in mercy. We're to stand in humility, knowing that, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. You know, of all these characteristics, I think you could sum them up this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. These five characteristics you're going to find are wrapped and rooted in love. So in the life of submission, here's what ought to be growing out of you. Love. Love each other. Love each other dearly. The way of the Christian life is to be blessed. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God spoke a blessing to Abraham. And he tells him in about 7 or 8 different ways, here's what's going to happen to you. Why? Because you're so smart, because you're so talented. No, because my hand is upon you. And I'm going to bless you. What? I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. So that others are going to be blessed because of you. And then we have a verse in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And it says that Jesus took the curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come to us. So when you read Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, and you see the blessing that God spoke on Abraham, put your name in it. And he says, I will make you great so that you can be big among your friends. No. So that everybody that knows you will think, wow, what a great guy. No. I will make you great so that you can be a blessing. That is the message that's left off of the message of prosperity. Whatever he puts in your hand, he does it so you can be a blessing to someone else. It's not to hoard. My goodness. I think of these people that believe that we're going to go through the tribulation. And they make a great argument. I mean, I can see it both ways. But the end result bothers me. Not that we're going to have to go through the tribulation, but the end result of the motivation of their heart, what it does to them bothers me. Because what it does to them, it doesn't want to make them share. It makes them want to hoard. And something is anti-Christ about that. People that believe that we're going to go through the tribulation start hoarding up stuff. And then they get guns because they're going to protect their stuff. Well, I'm sorry, but I just don't see that in the Bible. Say, what do you believe? I believe in pre-trib. You can stay if you want to, but I'm heading out of here. If you believe in pre-trib, the motivation of your heart ought to be, and I want to take everybody with me. I don't want anyone to stay. They had to go through that. It's the wrath of God. Why would God want to put wrath upon His children when all the Scripture points that He wants to bless His kids? And the one point that I think is overwhelming is the Scripture that says, you being evil want to do good towards your children. How much more then do I want to give them a blessing? The very nature that you have that you want to do for your children is the nature of God. The fact that you want to protect your children from danger, you want to protect them from bad decisions, you want to bless their life, you want their life to be better than yours, that's God's Spirit. You understand then when you look yourself in the mirror, you ought to be saying, God, I know you want to bless me. I know you want to bless me. Is there something possibly in my life that's forestalling the blessing? Am I doing something that might be hindering your blessing in my life? And I find out that the Lord wants to tell you those things. He wants to give that to you. Peter quotes Psalms 34 then, verse 12 through 16. It starts in verse 10 for us, 10 through 12. But this is really a quotation from Psalms 34. It's David writes it. And you may think that you read Psalms 34. Psalms 34 is a wonderful chapter of blessing. It's got all the great verses that we know. You know, these little trigger verses that you quote all the time. That's Psalm 34. We've just picked and choose and just, but they're all like contained in one chapter. It's when David was going through that king and they finally identified him and said, this is the man David. And he was at the Philistines or somebody. And David starts acting like a madman. And the king says, I've got enough madmen in my kingdom. Get him out of my sight. Didn't choose to find out who he really was. And David goes back and he writes Psalms 34. And he says, for he who would love life and see good days. Anybody in here like that? Anybody in here that's hot? Good Lord, I'm burning up. Jeez, we really love it warm in this place, don't we? Guys, I ought to be thin as much as you make me sweat. Maybe you're trying to help me out. I know. God bless your heart. He who would love life. Yes, that's me. I love life. Yeah, give it to me. And see good days. Yes, sir. I want to see those good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Oh, dear Jesus, what you had to put that accountability in there for. If you want to be blessed, keep your mouth shut. There are critical times in your life. There are moments in your life when you just keep your mouth shut. Don't say something stupid because you're getting ready to predict your future. I'm serious. These words that you're getting ready to say, you're going to live with them for a little while. Cautious. Caution. Ho, 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 ho. Let's refrain from evil. Sometimes after the end of a great service, you'll find your mouth running off. Saying bad things and you've just been in the presence of God. What's wrong with that? Can we not at least make it home before we start attacking somebody? Don't Don't you think that possibly the enemy has something to do with that? You've just been in the presence of God. Oh, we worship you. You get in the car and you say, oh, shut up. I've had enough of your mouth. Wow. You ever think, where'd that come from? Who's in there talking? I mean, all of a sudden, it's like someone else has just took over your body. Oh, my goodness. If we could learn to control this thing. James says that he who controls his tongue is the same as a perfect man. You know what that tells me? No one controls his tongue. Do you know what the truth of the matter is? Is the tongue is not controllable. Not humanly. But with God's help, you can control that little member. One thing we also learn is this little guy here is the most powerful part of your body. Some would say it's the brain. But many times my tongue bypasses my brain. And it just starts talking. And like 6-8 words later, my brain kicks in and says, what are you doing? Shut up! And my tongue is... And you think, dear Jesus, I can't believe I just crucified. I was the jury and the judge. You want to see good days? You want to enjoy life? Keep your tongue. Learn to hold the mouth. Learn not to be quite so quick to speak. He says to turn away and do good. In Psalms 1 is a great chapter. Psalms chapter 1 says this. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of life. Is that right? I don't have my glasses on. Planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in the seasons, whose leaf shall not wither. And listen to that last line. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. But it starts off with a condition. Blessed is the man who walks not. I've given you this illustration before, but you know, the way I picture this is it's building. It's not just threw three things out there, but they're building on each other. And the first one is walking. Don't be walking down the road with somebody talking about stuff you ought not be talking about. But all of a sudden you're walking. You ever notice that maybe in high school you're walking down the road and somebody says something really interesting and all of a sudden what do? You stop. You say, she did what? All of a sudden the gossip got really juicy and it made you stop. Don't stand. You see that? It's progressing. Do you see it progressing? Don't walk together with the sinners. Don't stand. All of a sudden, it got your attention. That's too juicy to keep going. Let's stop for a second. And then when it really gets juicy, you know what you do? I'll sit down here for a second. Oh, dear God, did she really do that? Do you see it? It's progressive. And that's exactly the way sin is. Sin is progressive in your life. So he says this, turn away from evil and do good. So all of a sudden I'm walking down the aisle of the high school and my friend starts telling me a dirty joke. That happened a few 100,000 times in high school. And all of a sudden, instead of stopping at the punchline, I said, would you knock that stuff off? Oh, that's really foreign, isn't it? That's what a child of God does. I don't want to hear that. When someone's in the church, you're walking down the aisle, and someone says, did you hear the last story on Mitch? You know what Mitch did? And all of a sudden you stop and say, what? Let's have a seat and cheer our brother up. Oh boy, I want to know all the juicy stuff. Instead of saying, shut up. My ears are not garbage cans. That's gossip and I don't want to hear it. You know, I think it goes back to being a brother. Rather than saying, well, I didn't want to offend him. I know what he was doing was wrong. I didn't want to offend him. So you just sinned with him. And now the sin may go further because when you repeat it, say, now I would never repeat that. No, you would never. Can we pray for Brother Mitch? I understand he's... Oh, that's not gossip. That's a prayer request. Oh, come on. Let's turn away from evil and let's do good. I want you to notice that it didn't just say turn from evil. It said do good. You know what the good in, when you hear gossip, you know what's good? Good is to say shut up. Not just turn away from it. Good is to say, I don't want to hear that. What if somebody was talking about Mitch? I mean, they're tearing him up. And all of a sudden, you turn around and you say, did you know I really love Mitch? You know what happens to that other person? Deflated. Do you understand you're talking about one of my best friends? My. Why can't we do that in the body of Christ? He said, seek peace and pursue it. Romans 12:18, if at possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Why should we live this way? Because verse 12 is so exciting. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. I have found that most people find great comfort in that, but some people find fear in that verse. It's really according to the way you view the Father. I can remember when I was a kid, and I always knew this was wrong. I didn't know why it was wrong, but I knew it was wrong. But I had an aunt that when she would correct her children, she would say stuff like this, God's going to get you for that. You know God's watching you, you little smart aleck. She would always put it on God. You know, her children have really had a rough time in life. One of them will darken the doors of a church once in a while. She had three. I think they're probably still scared of God. And if you tell them God's watching you, that's not a good thing. I don't want God watching me. He's just looking for me to make a mistake. Going to send a thunderbolt, probably. I want you to know God is good. I love the way James says it. There's no shadow of turning. God doesn't have any other side but goodness. Most human beings have got a good side and we got an evil side. Don't turn us around. Right? God only has one side and it's good. So when I see that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, I say, look on down, big boy. Keep your eye on me because I need all the help I can get. Do I know that that means there may be correction? Yeah, there may be correction because I do some really stupid stuff. But I'm all right with the correction actually because I know it's going to help me, not hurt me. I know He loves me. I know He wants to do good for me. I know He wants me to do good for others. So when He says the eye is on the righteous, let me just tell you, I am the righteous of God. Not because of the things I do right, but because of the blessing of Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's been a gift. So when he says the eyes of the Lord is upon who? The kingdom of God. He is looking out. He knows where you're at today. He knows you're at Bridge of Hope Church. He knows this fat preacher is just screaming and hollering at you, and it's hot as hell in this place. We do that for effect. You want to go there? Be another fat man down there preaching, but a different message. Thank you, brothers. Oh, my. God's watching us. God is watching us. And that's a good, good thing. God's eyes are upon you. You realize in your struggle, He's watching you. When I see it like this. Come on, big boy. Come on, you can do it. He's the cheerleader. He's the one saying, come on, Paul. Keep enduring. Keep going. You can do it. I'm cheering you on. Is God watching us? Yes, He's watching us. He's applauding us. He's saying, go, man, go. You can do it. Give the devil a black eye. God is watching us, and His ear is open. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Have you ever thought that one of the witnesses is God? God is one of the witnesses. He says, move back, boys. I want to see what's happening too. And His ear is turned towards our prayer. God hadn't answered my prayer in so many years. Well, maybe you quit praying. Can I tell you something extremely wise? Start a prayer journal. Start writing down what you're asking God for. And then in a few weeks or months, you go back and start looking at that book. And you will be amazed at how God came through for you. But if you don't make a record of it, we tend to forget it. You know, I often think that, God, why me? I was pretty content just leading senior citizens. What you make me a preacher for? I'm definitely not the smartest. In case you hadn't recognized, I have never been to Bible college. I can't debate the great theological debates with you. Care not to, actually. A lot of times I just think, Lord, what do I have to offer? And I can tell you what I think. See, I got saved at 7 years old. I had a really bad situation growing up. And at 7 years old, God laid His hand on me. And I've had some experiences with God that I think few people have, where I have witnessed God with me. I maybe can't teach you a great deal of Scripture, but I want to teach you how to practice the presence of God. How do you live in His presence? How do you live to where you experience? You know, guys, a lot of the things that we talk about, people need more joy, people need peace. You know, it all comes through practicing the presence of God. I preach so hard about prayer. I want you to come to prayer meeting. I want you to spend time in prayer. Why? Because it builds you up. It strengthens you. God is listening. 100% of the time, God will not answer the prayers that are never prayed. It's 100%. Babe Ruth led the home run king, led the home runs, right? He also led in strikeouts. The best of my knowledge. He struck out a lot, probably more than home runs. But every time he got in that box, I believe he was looking for a home run. I want you to know, every time you get in the box, be expecting the hand of God to move. Be expecting God to deliver for what you've asked. He says, I'm listening. I'm listening. Untie his hands. You have not because you ask not. Ask. Ask. Why do we struggle so much? I like that. She can't talk, so she's writing amen. Why do we struggle so much trying to fix everything ourselves? I believe this. I believe that everybody really believes in prosperity. The difference is some people believe that God prospers and other people believe that I've got to do it myself. But I believe in prosperity. It's a lot easier if you just let God do it. And let me just throw these words out to you. Don't seek after prosperity. Seek after Jesus. He'll bring the prosperity to you. Just seek Him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ear is turned towards their prayer. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Don't do evil. Child of God, isn't it a sad day when you got to tell Christians don't do evil? I should have got an amen. We've got people that call themselves Christians living all kinds of lives. 30, 40 years ago, if people were living together, they wouldn't go to church. But today, I'm talking about without a marriage certificate, they'll live together and still come to church. We live all kinds of lives. We had a guy at the Murray Church taking the offering and talking about blessing. The next week, he got indicted for stealing from work. Yeah, he was being prospered. But it wasn't God's way. He was stealing. He's a thief. The eyes of the Lord, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Don't do evil. God is watching. I want His blessing, not the curse. I want to walk under an open heaven. I want to know He's listening. Know He's watching. I want you to be right there. I want you to invite Him to listen. And I want you to pray more. Tommy was telling me something last night. And all of a sudden, it became so clear to me that this guy is getting up in the morning telling Jesus good morning. And he's looking for God all day long. And that's exactly where God wants every one of us to get. It's not where you go around and you do life and then at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, oh, geez, I forgot I'm a Christian. Fix what I messed up today, would you? Have you ever watched Fiddler on the Roof? I love that movie. You know why? Because they argue with God all day long. God, what are you doing? I love that. You know why? Because they're God conscious. And that's what I'm asking today. Let's become more God conscious in our life. Say good morning, Lord. Not good Lord this morning. Good morning, Lord. When you wake up. That came out wrong. Good morning, Jesus. And then look at the hand of God. Look for His favor all day long. I guarantee you, you're going to see God do some great things in your life. Amen. Stand with me. I know I've gone a little long today. And you can't imagine all the things that I feel like I cut out of my sermon. So, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the smartest decision you'll ever make in your life is when you give your heart to Jesus. As I look over this crowd, I think we're all probably Christians. And can I just say that saddens me just a bit? Would you please invite your unsaved friends to church? Get the biggest heathen you know. Thanks, Brother Bud, for inviting your brother to church. I'm sorry, Paul. I just had to do that. We're equal opportunity insulters around here. Invite somebody. Invite the alcoholic friend you have. Invite the drug addict friend that you have. Invite sinners to church. How are they ever going to change if they don't hear the message? But I believe today we are saved. And I believe this is a message not only for purity in the body of Christ to become more like Him, but I feel like the real encouragement here is, would you ask? Would you please just ask me? From God's perspective, I think He's saying this, I want to bless you. I want to do good towards you. I want to heal your bodies. I want to redeem your life. Please ask me. Please release me to move in your life. I'm not going to pray individually for each other because it is late, but I'm going to ask you. If the Holy Spirit has spoke to you today, I want you to just come and stand up here. Maybe there's something you want to bring before the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a prayer request. Like I said, I'm not going to pray for you individually, but together, corporately, I'm going to ask God to touch your life. So if you're here today and there's something that you're really believing God for, something you need to seek Him for, I'm going to ask you to come and just stand up here. Pastor Ray, you want to come and stand with me? Denny, you want to come stand with me? Amen. Let's just sort of scatter out. And if the Lord lays somebody on your heart to pray for, you do that. I know some of your needs. I know some of you have had things come up in your life, even recently, to where you're believing God. We want to believe with you. I believe there's nothing God can't do. How about you? I don't believe there's anything that's impossible to him who believes. God can give you wisdom when you need wisdom. When you need a place to live like that. Goffs back here got a wonderful testimony on that just recently. When you're sick in body, instantly God can restore. Instantly God can give you that voice back. Amen. When it's been a long time, things seem like they'll never change. It's a lie. It's a lie. Suddenly, God can change your life suddenly. God can heal backs. God can renew minds. God can make you forgive and forget when you turn it over to Him. God can change evil to good. God can even move upon someone else's heart to be merciful rather than judgmental. I've seen it. Father God, we come before you. Just raise your hands, church. We come before you seeking your face. Lord, according to the scriptures that we've read today, you're watching us and you're listening to us. And first of all, we wanted to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us. Thank you, Lord, that you know us. Lord, you said you know every hair on our head, and I say thank you. Thank you that you know me intimately. Thank you that you want to know me that well. Lord, I just rejoice in you. I am so thankful that I don't have to do life myself. I can trust you. Lord, you see these people here with such sincere faces, Lord, and sincere needs as they come before you, Lord, each one seeking something a little different, but each one seeking what you can provide. I pray right now, Lord, I'm not going to pray for an open heaven because I believe it's already open. I'm going to pray, Lord, that you send your word and heal them. Send your word and make things abundantly clear for them. Send your word and change us. Send your word and save our children. Send your word and do miraculous. Lord, we release our faith. We release our faith right now in Jesus' name. We release our faith that you are good. And nothing is impossible to him who believes. And I believe in God. I release my faith for those that are sick to be healed in Jesus' name. I release my faith, Lord, for lives and situations that are just ugly to be changed in Jesus' name. You know the details, Lord. I don't know them. I release my faith for a Christmas miracle today. I release my faith for those that have been struggling for a long time, who doesn't see things changing, to see it changed in Jesus' name. I release my faith in the goodness of God. I know you are good. And I say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness towards me. Father, you're so good. I love you and I honor you. Lord, I release my faith for our teenagers to continue to grow in the nurture and admonition of Jesus Christ, to walk in purity, to be holy and blameless in this crooked generation. I release my faith that they would be children of light, bringing light into every dark situation in Jesus' name. I release my faith that Bridge of Hope will dramatically affect Henry County for the good. That our influence will be great because the God in whom we serve is great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I release my faith to believe in the unity of families. That we dwell together in love. That we are harmonious in the families. I release my faith that people have income during this Christmas season to be givers. Supernaturally provide, Lord Jesus. I know there are people very worried about this. And I pray right now, Lord, let them see the hand of God supply their every need. One more time, I just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am so glad that I am yours and you are mine. And I am complete in you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now on your communication card, if there's something you want to communicate to me, make sure that you write that down for me and then drop it in the envelope in the back. Brother Ray is going to end with a blessing. I just had a fleeting thought, but I forgot it already. It seemed like there's something else I need. Oh, yes. Are you doing something?
Start and throw back your head.
If you're going to need help for Christmas, we would like to know. So if you need help with food, if you need help maybe buying gifts for your children, take that card and where it says prayer requests, let us know a little bit. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read these cards, okay? And then I'll take these needs to the board. So we're not going to be putting these on the overhead projector or whatever, saying, "Hey, so and so needs this." It's going to be held private. But every year at Christmas time, people come to me and they say, "Do you know anybody in need?" And so this is an opportunity. Let me know what's going on if you need some help. We got generous people in this church that want to help. Pastor Ray.
It's the most wonderful time.